sound that saved a wretch like me.
See, I was blind. Good morning. Welcome to Green Lake Church. I'm really glad that you can join us via the medium of electronics. It'd be great when we can gather together again here in our own space. For now, it's great that we can connect this way. So welcome. I'm delighted that you're with us this morning. We have a number of announcements to share with you. So I'm going to glance at my list and share them with you. First, I'll just mention, we do have Sabbath school classes for every age group. And if you would like to be involved in one of our Sabbath school classes via Zoom, let me know, contact the church office or me. We'll be glad to make sure that you get the login and password information you need so you can participate. I've checked in with some of these classes. They're a lot of fun. People do connect with one another. And so it's really a useful way to stay connected with each other. So let us know if we can help you get connected with one of our Sabbath school classes for the kids or for those of us who are adults and older. All right. Birthdays. We have some birthdays in the week to come. Let's see. So starting tomorrow, Shelby Gerlitz, happy birthday. And Ava Lauer, Ava, happy birthday to you. Let's see, Bernard Pham is having a birthday this week. And Linda Hive, Bernard and Linda, happy birthday to you. I hope the week goes well for you. Let's see, Griffin Muth, he's having a birthday. And Kirsten V. Meister, and then Sienna Calendar next Sabbath, I think it is. So to all of you, happy birthday. We're delighted that you are part of our family, and we wish we could be there to watch you blow out your candles. So I don't know if nowadays, given the coronavirus, we're going to be able to blow out candles on a cake that we're going to eat. So I'm not sure how that'll work. So maybe we'll have to do a virtual blow or something like that, or get a bellows to blow them out. Happy birthday to all of you who have had birthdays, who are having birthdays in the week to come. All right. Today is a good day and a bad day. It's a good day because Pastor Hans is preaching, and I'm looking forward to his sermon. It's a bad day because it's his last sermon as an associate pastor here at Green Lake Church. He's moving on to the Breath of Life Church in White Center, and the 24/7 Church in Bellevue. He will be the lead pastor for both of those churches, a big job that he's taking on. We wish him all the best as he moves on into this new challenge, takes up a new mantle of leadership, but we're going to miss him. And so, I don't know. I'm celebrating his graduation, if you will, and moving on from internship, and I'm grieving his departure. Fortunately, he's not going very far away. And this afternoon at 2:00, you can actually see the young man, not via a screen, but actually lay your own eyeballs on him. We will be doing a drive-by farewell on the southwest lawn of the church. And so you can come and drive by, honk your horn. Well, let's not make the neighbors too crazy, but there should be a few honks, I think. And if it's not raining too hard, you can roll down your window and we'll hand you some cookies and a flyer, and you'll be able to see Hans and whoever else is hanging out with him there on the lawn. And Pastor Hans is smirking when I talk about somebody else hanging out with him on the lawn. You want to be there. You want to see this added reality to Pastor Hans's life. So that's from 2 to 4. And just if I can offer a couple of suggestions, I'm going to suggest that you approach the church, that you come from Woodlawn toward Green Lake Way, rather than going from Green Lake Way up Meridian, come down Meridian from Woodlawn, and that'll put you on the church side of the street, and we can do our greeting there. So look forward to seeing you this afternoon between 2 and 4. Pray that the rain holds off. The forecast is not favorable. So let's hope for better weather than what the forecast says. All right. Let me look at my list. Oh, we have something special for our closing hymn today. So when we do our closing hymn, recently what we've been doing for our hymns is we have a video recording of when we have done the hymn live in our sanctuary in the past. And so you hear the voices and you're invited to sing along with the voices that you hear on the video. Today, there will not be voices on the video. It will just be instruments. But we have a group of Green Lake instrumentalists who will be accompanying the hymn. The words will be on the screen. So we invite you to sing and to participate fully in that closing hymn. But just note that the accompaniment is a bit different. It'll be instrumentalists from our Green Lake Orchestra, and they will lead us in our closing hymn. I hope you enjoy that. I think that's it for those announcements. Two more announcements that will come up in our prayer. Excuse me. This week, Pastor Hans lost a cousin, Clifford Exunstus. I'm not saying his name right. He lived in New York City and died of COVID this past week. Hans grew up with his kids. They were very close. So we wish Pastor Hans, you know, our condolences and sympathy, and the entire family with this loss. Somebody, you know, who was not very old. So we wish them well. And we'll pray for them in the morning prayer. Finally, I was talking with one of somebody who has frequently attended here at Green Lake Church, a young doctor. She will be downtown today with the protests, remembering George Floyd and protesting the larger challenge in our society of violence against Black men. She specifically asked that we would remember her for her safety and for the protests as a whole, that they will remain peaceful and nonviolent while making a bold and very loud statement about the need for a change in our society in connection with this violence against Black men. So we will be remembering them in the prayer. Finally, I posted something on Facebook this week in response to the killings of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. And I want to share with you what I shared there as a statement from the pulpit of Green Lake Church about what's going on here in our country. As was said 3,000 years ago, Ichabod, the glory is departed. Justice has fallen in the streets. The hope and promise of America has again been contradicted. I offer my condolences to the family and friends of Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and Breonna Taylor. Would to God I could offer more, that I could offer another chance of life to these three persons killed so senselessly. I can scarcely imagine the grief and loss that is the lot of those who knew and loved these three Americans. We mourn together. It falls now to us to face the failure of justice honestly. We must pledge ourselves to unrelenting effort to rectify injustice, to create the equality which from the very beginning of our nation we have often glorified in our speeches and too often denied with our laws and deeds. Across the nation, conscientious police keep the peace and serve the public. Law enforcement officers put their own lives at risk, protecting our lives from those who would do harm and wreak violence. We honor their service. However, in the light of the deaths of Ahmaud Arbery and Floyd George and Breonna Taylor, we confront another truth, a hideous secret, that even among those who are pledged to protect, there are individuals who would use their badge as a license to do harm, even to the point of killing. These killers are our responsibility, We have given them their badges. We must hold them accountable. This accountability begins with acknowledging our own national history. The proud words of our founding, "All men are created equal," were written and signed by men who did not, in fact, believe that every human being was created equal. Our Constitution, one of the greatest founding documents across human history, allowed for the continuance of slavery. And even after amendment, it still allowed for the systematic legal oppression of our Black citizens and failed to protect Native Americans. As a nation, over and over again, America broke faith deliberately and officially, and sometimes with horrific violence, with those already on the land for 100 generations. And in 1942, even with our Constitution as it now stands amended, we forced tens of thousands of American citizens into concentration camps. So when individuals wearing the badges of their office do violence, we as a nation must acknowledge them as our own. They represent the darker angels of our national character. They are us. We must take full responsibility for their actions and full responsibility for holding them accountable and for creating a new social order that moves ever onward toward the higher vision expressed by our greatest visionaries. In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and put into words our noblest national aspiration. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a desert state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today." And we have a dream. It is not only Mississippi, where there is sweltering injustice and oppression. It sweeps the nation. And we can do better, and we must do better. Dr. King gave voice to an exalted dream, one worthy of strenuous, unwavering effort toward its fulfillment. Today, we grieve with those who are bereft. We stand with those who seek justice. Let us commit to doing all that is within our power to achieve the noble dream spoken daily by students across our land. Liberty and justice for all. May God help us toward that end. Now we will turn to our morning hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy," with the prayer that God will live his holiness in us and through us in a broken world. Let's sing. Let's pray. Creator of earth and sky and sea, maker of rocks and birds and trees and all that is, thank you for calling us together this morning, for welcoming us with your smile. Lord of the nations, we pray that you will hasten the day when swords are turned into plowshares and spears are turned into pruning hooks and justice rolls down like the great river. Judge of all the earth, we pray that you will wake your mighty arm on the side of justice, defend the oppressed, rescue the troubled, and draw us into partnership with you in advancing the kingdom of heaven. Lord of our hearts, work in us and through us. Shape us so that we may indeed be partners with you, accomplishing justice and peace. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ever wondered what it takes to move our church to the next level? How to improve our church to make it better and more effective to the mission? It happens only when we are willing to take the specific steps necessary to examine all our ministries of the church and set our mind on doing everything at the highest possible level, or shall we say we do everything we can to help, not just words but in action. Every Sabbath we watch the pastor delivers his sermon. We say, oh, it's offering time. We do not have a blue bucket or wooden plate being passed around. It's okay, I can do it tomorrow. Is this what you're thinking? For our friends and families and anyone who happened to be browsing the channels, we do not want this to be just another offering call. On the bottom of your screen is the Adventist Giving website. Grab your computer now or phone and start browsing. We have several opportunities to support our local ministries, such as the Inasmuch funds, like Hands Across the Water, homeless care packages, community meals, and many others. Please remember those items are enumerated in the website by now, and you should be well-versed. This is one way to support our local ministries. We have several avenues we can participate through sharing our blessings, and you'll be glad you're part of the giving crowd. Let's pray. God in heaven, you are faithful and wise. Thank you for the opportunity to share your blessings today. May it be of use to spread your love. In your name, I pray. Amen.
On the bench is a boy asleep, silver. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. As you can probably tell if you're in Western Washington, I'm recording this because today, Friday, is a gorgeous day and Sabbath is supposed to have lots of rain. So I'm going to take you guys for a little walk into my yard here and see if I can show you something. We have something at our house that you all probably have a lot of. If you have an outdoor space where you can go, and that is a hummingbird feeder. Here it is. This hummingbird feeder has been down for a couple of days. It needed to be cleaned out and refilled so that the hummingbirds didn't get anything from it. This is one of two hummingbird feeders we have, and we have hummingbirds that like to fight over it. So I'm going to set this down right here underneath, and we're going to see if we can capture any hummingbirds fighting over it while I tell you a little story about hummingbirds that happened at our house about 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, when Kirsten was about 16 years old, Sabrina was about 14 years old, we had a cat named Bella. She was very gray with very green eyes, a very pretty kitty, and very sweet. So she would roam around the yard, and she was, you know, a snuggly kind of a cat, not a super fast cat. So we felt like she was probably okay to be outside and she wouldn't accidentally take out any songbirds, like happens sometimes with cats when they like to hunt. So Bella would go outside and then come back in after some time would pass and she had a chance to go sniffing around and see if there were bunnies in the undergrowth or anything like that. And one day we were having a very busy day. People were in and out quite a bit and everyone had scattered to far parts of the house when I noticed Bella had come in and she had in her mouth what looked like a leaf. And I thought, well, no matter what that is, it's probably bad for cats to eat. So I should take it away from her. So I stopped her in a scolding tone because she was pretty good about stopping when you scolded her. And she didn't really stop. She looked at me out of the corner of her eye and froze. And she was right underneath the edge of our counter. That's kind of a bar with chairs next to our kitchen sink. And I thought, I had better grab her and see what's actually happening. So I went to grab her and she went to run away. And I went to grab her again and I caught her by the scruff of the neck. And she dropped what she had in her mouth, and it was a hummingbird. Our soft little snuggly little cat had caught a very fast, very tiny, very camouflaged hummingbird. And it was laying there on the ground. I didn't know what to do with it. But I had Bella, so I thought, well, whatever's happening here, Bella needs to go away from where the hummingbird is. So we put her in a room and shut the door. And when I turned around, the hummingbird had started to fly. We thought that it was very injured and wouldn't be able to move. So we were just gonna put it in a little box and then call somebody about what to do with a hummingbird. But what happened instead is the bird decided it needed to get away as quickly as possible, and it flew as fast as it could towards the brightest light it could see, which happened to be the two windows in our stairwell. So by now, everyone in the house knows that our cat had caught a hummingbird. This is very unusual, and we feel terrible for the bird. So We couldn't figure out what to do because the windows were so far off the ground, we didn't have a ladder that would reach. All we could do is maybe find a broom. Well, that wouldn't work because if you injure a little bird like that with a broom, then it's really never gonna fly. And what will you do then? How are you gonna get that little bird out of the windowsill that is about 18 feet off the ground? 18 feet is like three adults stacked up on top of each other. So we talked very quickly and came up with the idea that Kirsten, who was the tallest person in the house, would put Sabrina, who is the next tallest person in the house, on her shoulders, and she would be on the stairs with a shoebox that was small that we could clap right over the top of the hummingbird so that it couldn't get away. It was holding still there in the windowsill because it still just wanted to fly towards the light. So Kirsten crouched down. Emily helped Sabrina get on Kirsten's shoulders, and Kirsten very carefully moved down a couple steps and over to where the windowsill was. Sabrina, scared as she could be, grabbed the shoebox from Emily and clapped it super fast over the top of the bird. And the bird didn't move. So we took the lid of the box, bent one side, slid it underneath the box so that it could be caught in there, and she pulled the box out of the windowsill. When she came down from Kirsten's shoulders, we carried the box outside, opened it up, and the bird just sort of laid there looking at us. Eventually, it flew off, and I think it's one of the birds that now, or maybe one of its babies, that fights over our hummingbird feeder right here. Sometimes if you're outside, you can hear them buzzing. They sound like little helicopters or drones when they come zipping around the yard. So one of the Bible verses today is about Moses and his arms getting tired. Sometimes it's very hard for us to do a thing that we know we need to do. Can you imagine how tired Moses must have been standing there trying to hold his arms up? It seems exhausting. But he had friends who God had sent to him to help him be brave and to help him hold his arms up. When my girls rescued the hummingbird, they were afraid because it was a very tall height. But what are you going to do? There's a little life at stake, and you have to save it. Some of the news lately has been a little bit scary, and some of you probably listen to that and think to yourselves, wow, this is a pretty terrible thing, and it is. There's a lot in the news right now that is extra terrible. I hope that you have at your house, and I think you do, parents and maybe other family members who will help you when you need it. You probably have friends who will help you hold your arms when you're tired. Some of you have siblings who will help you hold your arms up when you're tired. In the meantime, I hope that you get to see a hummingbird, if not here, in your own yard. Thank you and happy Sabbath.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this Sabbath day when we can come together in community and worship. Thank you for the sunshine and rain which we are sustaining life around us in this season of spring with the promise of light and warmth in the approaching summer. Today, Lord, I ask that you be with those of us who are dealing with hardships, whether it is concerning health, relationships, or even personal battles, knowing we cannot face our challenges alone. Especially, I pray that you will be with Hans's cousin, Clifford Exantus, who died this past week of the COVID virus in New York City. We also bring before you the names of Jennifer Cummings, Becky Mitchum, Nola Jean Bambury, Rhonda Casper Ford, sister of Dennis Casper, Katrina Carley's parents who are undergoing cancer treatment, the Green Lake daycare workers to be safe working with children. We also bring before you people all over this nation and our community who are mourning, who are gathering and demonstrating the injustices that we have experienced in the last few days and weeks around our country. We pray for their safety. We pray for your guidance be with them and with all of us. Be with our nation. Be with our leaders at all levels. Now we bring before you our speaker this morning, Pastor Hans, asking for your blessing upon his message to us. His pastoral leadership and presence at Green Lake Church have been a blessing for all of us. As he prepares to take on a new pastoral calling, we ask for your special guidance and protection. I pray now that you will be with all who are watching together this service today, that while we may be physically separated from each other during this pandemic, your spirit may keep us united. Be with us all during the week ahead as we live and serve within our communities. Guide us on your blessed path, wherever we may go and in everything we do. I pray all this in your heavenly name. Amen.
While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write this down on the scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means "The Lord is my banner." He said, "They have raised their fists against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation."
I hear the ring. Today's New Testament reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Good morning, happy Sabbath, Green Lake. I was rattling my brain this past week saying, what can I leave Green Lake with? Since this will be my last sermon here as an associate pastor. And two things came up, connected and be the light. Those are the two things that came into my mind. So before we begin, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything, despite of everything. Be with us. Give us your Holy Spirit. Speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One thing that I hate, really hate, is when I need my cell phone and the battery dies. I can't stand that. And when I need it the most, I remember one time I was driving from school from Oakwood University, which is in Huntsville, Alabama, to New York City. And this is the time where smartphones were getting apps for GPS. And I just wanted to check how it worked, if it was good. And the trip is like 14 to 16 hour trip, right? Straight shot driving. So I put the GPS, I put my cell phone, and it was good so far, but the battery, the charger stopped working. And when the charger stopped working, my phone was starting to die. It's a 16 hour trip. So I started to get worried. I was like, I'm gonna push it as far as I can. So I did. My phone died. Myself and my cousin, we were just frantic, like, what are we gonna do? Like, thank God I had a TomTom. Most of us don't know what a TomTom is, but a TomTom is a GPS device, right? And I plugged it in, took forever to load, finally load, and I was on my way. I looked at my phone and I thought about how important it is for my cellular device to be connected to a power source. How important my cell phone needs a power source. Or even when I'm in the library, doing an essay or a project when I was in college, or even studying, and if I forget my laptop charger, my laptop begins to die as well. So I would have to stop what I need, what I was doing, save my information, and go home. And I also always thought to myself how my electronic device need a power source, right? How my laptop needed this source of power to stay alive. We just read in Exodus, and I know most of us have read many, many battles, great battles, whether it be World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Iraq. Some of us even have experienced battles and wars. I like the battle of David and Goliath, and certain battles that are not even won by weapons, certain battles that's just won by the voice and singing and walking. But I think this is one of the greatest battles, one of my favorite battles is with the Amalekites and the Israelites. As we read, we see how the Amalekites attacked the Israelites and they were losing. They were losing this battle, but Moses was connected. He was connected to the source, right? This God. And because he was so connected, every time he raised his hands, the battle would be to his favor. The Israelites would start winning this battle. But every time he lowers his hands, the Amalekites start winning. And I came to tell you all how important it is to be connected, right? I came to tell you all how, even though you're going through life and certain things are heavy, all you have to do is lift up your hands and praise. And the battle will be in your favor. But what happens when you get tired, as Moses did, when his hands begin to grow weary? What happens then? Thank God that Moses had people who was also connected. They witnessed and they see what was going on with this battle. And Aaron and Hur grabbed Moses' hand and held it till sunset. And they overcame this battle. And for us, when we are going through hardship, when we are going through difficulties in life, it's okay to call someone for a helping hand and praise the enemy away. I wish I could preach this as we can, but this is the best I could do right now. I wish I could have this big preaching thing, but
amen.
Thank you, John.
Amen.
I hear it. Appreciate it. And the point of this is, it's always good to stay connected to a source. If your charger, if your cell phone or your laptop need charging, this power source, is always good to have an outlet. And our source is God. And that's what we need, especially at times like this.
Amen.
Thank you. And we continue with this story. I want to let you know in Matthew chapter 14, because this battle was very short, but very powerful. In Matthew chapter 14, we see how Jesus fed the 5,000. Every miracle that Jesus has done, he always had to pray or speak to his father before. And he does. And it shows us how important Jesus stayed connected. And if Jesus needs to be connected, how much do we need to be connected? At times like this. Jesus fed the fire, took the bread, took the fish, prayed, and then he fed 5,000 people. 5,000 men, women and children were not even included. So it was more than that. Well, counted, excuse me. They were included, but they were not counted. And after everything was done, Jesus told his disciples, listen, get on the boat and go on the other side. I will meet you there. And the crowds dispersed. And instead of for Jesus to be tired and weary and go to sleep or take a shower or whatever he may have done, what he did was key. He went on the mountainside and still prayed. And he spent time with God over and over again because he's about to do another miracle. After he's finished praying, he goes and walks on water where the disciples were stuck in a great storm. Every miracle Jesus has done, he talked to his father. He was connected to his father. And I am telling you, being like, stay connected, because that's important. I remember when my mom used to wake us up 5 a.m. before she went to work, before we went to school, and did devotion with the family. As a kid, I didn't really like that. I was still sleepy. But I understand how important it is and how important it is now. I'm not telling you to do a 5 a.m. worship. Whatever is convenient for you, do it. But it's important to stay connected. It's important to have this connection with God. Because if Jesus needed it, we definitely need it as well. We read in Matthew and how we are supposed to be the salt of the world and not lose our flavor. Because we are living in a dark, dark world. Matter of fact, let me rephrase that statement, we're living in a dark, dark world is very foreign, distant, far. Let's bring it home. We are living in a very dark, dark America. And I know you are tired of hearing the same song, like, okay, Pastor Hans, you said this countless of times. But the reason I say this countless of times, I'm singing the same song over and over, is because America is playing the same music. Ahmaud Arbery should still be here. It makes no sense for him to be treated as an animal, as a person that people went to hunt him down. He should still be here. And countless of others, George Floyd should still be here. This is why Colin Kaepernick kneels. And most of us would be offended by Colin Kaepernick kneeling. And I told you this before, we are first Christians before we are American.
True. Amen.
And if you don't believe that this is a dark America, you could even ask John, and John said it in his church life. This is not a happy place. And when your country is doing something that is wrong, you as Christians need to be the light. Do not lose your flavor. My cousin, the one that you all just prayed for, thank you. He would tell me that. He would say, Hans, be the light. And there's a story behind that. This was high school. And this was my years in high school, and this was summer break. And my cousin, me and my cousin Peterson went down to Connecticut where they live. And I hung out with Clifford, which is his son, or Cliff, which is his son, Clifford. And we was going to this party, right? And we was getting ready. We had the best clothes. We were smelling right. We was going to this party. The party, we was leaving the house at 2 a.m., right? 2 a.m. And as we was leaving the house at 2 a.m., Cliff's dad, Clifford, said, he looked at me and he says, be the light. I was like, you just ruined everything. I'm about to go to this party at 2 a.m. You know nothing good is going to come out of this party, but you're going to tell me to be the light. Ruin my whole experience. And I thought about it. My cousins laughed, and they go, why can't I be the light? And Clifford just looked at me and says, be the light. And to answer this question, I'm pretty sure Cliff is watching, his son, it's because he raised you all well. So he already knew that your sister were already lights. He was just making sure to tell me to be the light. And Green Lake, I'm telling you to be the light, especially in this dark, dark America, when things are looking horrible, when things are not looking right. I know it's easy to be proud, to be like, this is America, this is the greatest country. I do not agree. I mean, I do not disagree. But there are flaws in America, and this is one of the biggest flaws that we are struggling with. And as Christians, we need to understand that the pride of America will not get us far. The only thing that would get us far is being connected to Christ.
Amen.
It's to being connected to the light. Mm-hmm. And when you are connected and when you have light in you, you cannot hide it. We have to bring light into this dark America. I'm not trying to offend anyone. And if you feel offended, you need to start searching. I told you this countless of times. You are first Christians. Or Americans. And if your country is doing if your country is not just, is doing injustice to those who are being oppressed, we ought to stand for justice. We ought to stand and show the light that Jesus has given to us. And then maybe America will change. Green Lake, those are the two things I leave you with. Stay connected. If you forget all my sermons that I've preached, Don't forget this one. Stay connected. Be the light. Thank you for the time. Thank you for allowing me to serve you all. And thank you for your love. Back to you, Gumi. Father, thank you. May your spirit be with us. May your love surround us. And may you bring us back into your gates. Amen. Thank you.
lasting for forever, and a promise that would last. He said, baby, no, I love you, but I can't commit to that. She said, love isn't love till you give it away. A father lived in silence, saw his son become a man. There was a distance fell between them, 'cause he could not understand that love isn't love till you give it away. You gotta give it away. Doesn't lead to anywhere. Ooh, 'cause love isn't love till you give it away. Yeah, you gotta give it away. May we learn.
And saving the very best for last, we want to announce that Megan Rickaby's graduation ceremony is June 3rd at 7 p.m. at Cypress. It's going to be a drive-in, so if you like to celebrate with us, please come on out. June 3rd, that's on a Wednesday, or June 3rd of next week, 7 p.m., so hope to see you there. Thank you.
His life, and he gave it away.